Welcome to our third segment of this afternoon's program. It's Sunday, the 16th of January, 2022. It is now 2:26 p.m. in the studio. I'm your host, Kieran Murdoch. The aim of our third and final discussion this afternoon is to explore how the newest COVID-19 variant of concern, Omicron, will impact the COVID-19 situation, both in Antigua and Barbuda and across the wider Caribbean. We will, of course, be discussing the issues of immunity, concepts of herd immunity, and of course, now across the islands, many health authorities are encouraging persons to get booster shots. So we'll be discussing that as well. And I think many people would be aware that not only in Antigua and Barbuda, but in many other places in the Caribbean, there's currently a wave of infections currently being experienced. In fact, I would have reached out to a number of individuals to join this segment who did in fact tell me that they actually were ill with COVID. So that is just to show you how serious the issue is. But joining our panel for this discussion, we're happy to have with us on Zoom, all our three guests are on Zoom this time, folks. We're happy to have with us Dr. Carlene Radix. She's a medical doctor and she's the head of the Human and Social Division at the Organization of Eastern Caribbean States Commission. That's the OECS Commission. Good afternoon to you, Dr. Carlene Radix. You'll have to unmute your microphone there for us. Good afternoon to you. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. Thank you. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be a part of this distinguished panel along with Dr. Thompson and Dr. Roberts. So looking forward to it.
We have as well Dr. Gerald Thompson. He too is a medical doctor. He is a specialist on infectious diseases. He serves as an advisor to the St. Vincent and the Grenadines COVID-19 Task Force. He joins us on Zoom. Good afternoon to you, Dr. Gerald Thompson. How are you doing?
Good afternoon to you. Good afternoon to all the other panelists and your guests this evening. Good evening.
And finally, right here in Antigua and Barbuda, we're joined by Dr. George Roberts. He's a medical doctor as well, an ear, nose, and throat specialist. And he's joined us several times to discuss the situation here in Antigua and Barbuda as regards COVID-19. Good afternoon to you, Dr. George Roberts, and how are you doing?
Good afternoon. I'm fine, thank you, and welcome to everyone.
Dr. Gerald Thompson, I wonder if I could begin with you. One of the issues that many people are curious about right now I'll speak about Antigua and Barbuda, and I will bring Dr. George Roberts in on the question. But we are seeing a wave of infections right now, but we are seeing a much lower hospitalization ratio. So we have, I think it's somewhere around 1,000 cases in Antigua and Barbuda, for example, but our ratio of hospitalizations is much, much lower. We do have a significant level of vaccination. I think it's at least 60,000 or somewhere near there are at least either double vaxxed or at least gotten a single shot up to this point. But there's as well the Omicron variant, and persons are sort of wanting to wonder, or wanting to know rather, what may be causing this lower rate of hospitalizations. Is it vaccine immunity? Is it a variant that is less severe? We don't know. So what could you tell us?
Well, let me say, I think, I see Ms. Radix is going first. It's a combination of factors. It's clear that the Omicron variant seems to have what we call a predilection for the upper respiratory tract. The upper respiratory tract, the throat, the trachea, and the bronchus. That's the airways that carries air down into your lungs. Whereas other variants like the Delta more had a predilection for the lungs. And of course, when you have a lung infection and the subsequent various forms of pneumonia, then you see the shortness of breath, the severity of the illness, and so on. So at the same time, the Omicron seems to have a very short incubation period, just 3 days. And because it is there in the upper airways, the respiratory droplets that are also coming out seem to have a larger volume, quantity of virus in them, in these little tiny droplets. So that someone who's nearby, who's not wearing a mask properly, or maybe has a cloth mask, a single line cloth mask, or some mask that isn't going to play, could still become infected. So there's no doubt that the Omicron is less severe, and that's been questioned over Peter. But because of the larger numbers of people who are infected and the huge rapid transmission, you're seeing more people being infected. So that if you are vulnerable, if you basically have other underlying diseases and you become infected, or your son and daughter brings it home to you and your uncontrolled diabetes, what will happen is that you will still get quite sick. And the larger, though we should not be fooled by the larger numbers of persons who seem to have milder infection. The larger numbers mean that there's also, even though a smaller percentage of persons who might have severe cases, there's a larger amount. But luckily, I say, Nkrebu, we have not had a significant increase in hospitalization. But in other countries, yes, the hospitalization rate has been creeping up and have been fluctuating to some degree, similar to that of the Delta.
Dr. George Roberts here in Antigua and Barbuda, I wonder, what would you ascribe, if you had to reason, as to the lower rate of hospitalizations that we're seeing in Antigua and Barbuda, even with such high numbers?
Thank you very much for that question. Yes, definitely it is a multifactorial issue. And I would say that all of the information that we and the research that has been going on in the past 2 months since the virus has been identified has tended to suggest very strongly that it is not as lethal, at least in the short term, as something like like the Delta. And so therefore, because of that, even though it is much more contagious and we're having rapid transmission and a mushrooming of the amount of number of cases that we have, for the most cases seem to be relatively mild. And so it seems to like as if this is a inherent feature of the particular strain itself. But in addition, we know that we've been having the virus with us for the last couple of years. And so therefore, and especially here, at least in Antigua, we have a pretty decent vaccination rate. So all of these things will help to increase the general immunity of the population. And it is suggested, and it seemed to reasonable to think that the immunity that we've gotten from the vaccinations and also previous infections from previous strains, even though they may not be complete, will be able to help to blunt the effect of the virus. In addition, of course, we know that we've also been enforcing strict guidelines in terms of social distancing, and that would also help to blunt the whole effect of the virus. And so therefore, the virus does seem not to be affecting us as severely in terms of severe disease, but that does not mean that we should be by any means complacent, because there are lots of very serious problems which can occur, which I can go into later, but I give you a chance to continue with talking to the others.
And Dr. Radix, if I could bring you in, I think in Antigua and Barbuda, only for the last few weeks, maybe if so much, we have begun to confirm cases of Omicron. So I want to ask you, to what extent has it been confirmed throughout the OECS that there is a prevalence of Omicron? Is that something that we know, or that's something that we're not able to actually state as a matter of fact?
Well, thanks for the question. And I think we can pretty much state as a matter of fact that Omicron is across the Caribbean region. While the actual detection of Omicron through genetic sequencing has happened in quite a number of our member states, I can't remember the exact number now, I do believe that we can see from the rising number of cases, if you just have to look at the graph of the Omicron wave, there is a steep rise, which we've seen globally for the last few weeks. We've seen it happen in the UK and the US, and it's happening in every one of our countries right now. And it's reflective of the easy transmission infection of the Omicron variant. So it's pretty safe to say that Omicron is here, and it's here in all of our member states. I can say it's been confirmed, certainly in Martinique and Guadeloupe. I know Antigua has confirmed, Grenada, and a couple of others, but it's pretty much here.
Dr. Gerald Thompson, I wonder if I could come back to you. Persons asked the question whether or not with each new variant we're going to see a different level of effectiveness of vaccines. As it relates to Omicron, is there anything that you could tell us about whether or not the vaccines that we have and that persons have taken and that persons are being encouraged to continue to get their booster shots, whether those are effective or less effective or more effective? And is any of that known?
Yes, well, absolutely. Lots of studies have been done across the globe in different countries with different circumstances. But from the time we did the initial efficacy assessments were done, we've moved on to what you've asked, effectiveness, real world circumstances, people who have a mixture of underlying illnesses and so forth. Effectiveness is the core word. And what we found is, well, there are four things we judge things by. The ability, basically, to catch the illness, one. Then the severity of the illness, the need for hospitalization, and death. And those last three, severity, hospitalization, and death, are what we are seeing. And throughout, even with the Delta, and certainly with Omicron, we are seeing that the vaccines have been quite consistently effective. I think with the Omicron, yes, we are seeing breakthrough transmission and infections and so forth, but it has been very mild. And as Dr. Roberts has said, largely, I would think, in a place like Antigua, because of the relatively high vaccination rate, people are protected. They have an army of antibodies inside their bodies linked together to protect them from this virus. Thank God, you know, those particular actions were taken. I imagine that in countries that have lower, far lower vaccination rates, you will see huge numbers of infections with the Omicron, and they may not be protected. And therefore, then you may start to see the higher hospitalization rates, some greater severity, because people have not been exposed, whether as a result of catching it naturally or as a result of being vaccinated. And so we judge things, I judge things basically on severity, hospitalization, and death, or not just simply on the ability of somebody testing positive and they don't have any symptoms at all. I look at it far with the last three factors has been more important.
I believe we can come back now to Dr. Carlene Radix, I seem to have forgotten. I'm not sure if I kept the order correctly. Did I keep the order correctly? Was I supposed to go to Dr. George Roberts? My attention was drawn away to the message board for a second.
I think you would have gone to him before me previously if you're trying to keep the same.
Well, I always defer to the lady. It's not a problem.
Okay, well, I'll go back to Dr. Carlene Radix. Dr. Carlene Radix, in terms of booster shots, we have seen some reluctance reported in terms of persons who got vaccinated feeling the pressure of, in many islands, vaccine mandates, certainly in Antigua and Barbuda, and many are actually reluctant to go back and get a booster shot. I want to ask you if you could speak to the question of immunity. Once you get vaccinated, to what extent does your immunity last, and why is it that persons are asked to get booster shots?
Okay, so it's an excellent question. And with vaccinations of any kind, immunity does wane. If you look at our vaccination processes for routine vaccinations, you would note that there's often a schedule of two or three vaccines at clustered. If you look at childhood vaccines, but then later on, there are boosters that happen at age 10, at age 20, and looking at, into adulthood. So immunity, and this depending on the type of disease you're looking at. So immunity does wane. This is a global pandemic, and initially the feeling was that if we could get the world up to a level of immunity within a time frame that didn't allow the virus to keep mutating, that we would have a significant chance at decreasing the length of time for this pandemic. That has not been the case for many reasons, both because of access to vaccines, and also because of the continuing debate around mandates, getting vaccines, some persons' choices not to get vaccines. So we have to continue to use all the arsenal, all the tools in our shed. Let me congratulate Antigua and Barbuda as having the second highest rate of vaccinations in the OECS region. And not only the second highest rate of vaccination, but vaccination within Antigua and Barbuda was done strategically targeting the most vulnerable. And let me agree with Dr. Thompson that since we've been advocating for vaccinations, what we've been saying is that we want to protect the most vulnerable by decreasing severity of disease, hospitalization, and ultimately death. And since the 2 years we've been living with COVID, we now know that there's something called long COVID that can happen with persons who've been impacted by COVID, which has its own set of issues. So I feel all of that to say, yes, if you got your vaccine early, we've seen that it's waning, and certainly the advice is now with this Omicron variant that's moving very quickly. If you haven't already, you should have your booster, especially if you're part of the vulnerable population, because we're going to see numbers increase and increase quickly. We've seen the things happening in the countries like the UK and the US with increased hospitalizations. And again, we don't yet know. We're still at the beginning of this spike. We don't yet know what's going to happen. But what we've seen there is even though hospitalizations are maybe a third to a half of what they've been with Delta, that infections have been 4 and 5 times the amount. So you do the math. It still means that there are hospitalizations. Of course, we're not comparing apples to apples because we have continued to have strong public health measures in the Caribbean that may not have been happening in other places, the social distancing, mask wearing, etc. And that coupled with the high vaccination rates in Antigua and Barbuda means that there are many tools in the toolbox. But I would encourage persons to have their booster shot if the time frame is right, because it can help to protect our most vulnerable, our older persons with chronic disease, upper respiratory disease, etc.
And coming to you, Dr. George Roberts, on the specific question of the issue of vaccinated persons falling ill with COVID-19, you often hear that as a point of concern for many people, particularly many people who are skeptical of taking vaccines, where they're looking now and they're saying they know many vaccinated people who are home ill with COVID-19. Can you speak to that at all? Is that something that should give us some sort of reservation or pause as to the effectiveness of getting vaccinated?
I think you said the critical thing. People who are home ill. That's it. The whole thing about vaccination, as we know, does not absolutely prevent everybody from getting any COVID, but it helps to definitely decrease the likelihood of severe illnesses and death. Nothing is, of course, 100%, but that's it. And so, even though the Omicron is a new strain, and even though because of that, it's still infecting people, still we're not having people having to end up in hospital. We're not having to end up in the ICU. I mean, last time I looked at our local dashboard, we had maybe like about 9 persons who were in under some care, and none of them at that time were severe, and this is a whole, and this I think could show a triumph for the vaccination process. And I think that it's very strong evidence to support the continued vaccination. Now, there's one thing I should say, is that some people now may be having the situation, the feeling that, oh, Omicron is, it's never just like the flu. Don't bother. You can just get it and knock it off. And let's go, okay. And so therefore, we don't need anything. We're close to the end of the of the pandemic. Nothing could be even less true than that. And I tell you why. A few things. One, with the with this Omicron, we haven't seen the last of it. We still don't know if there are any underlying lethal problems which can occur. The whole question of long COVID is a serious situation, because long COVID can affect people even if they're being very superficially infected. The other factor is, too, that with the Omicron, even though it might be less severe, but because of the fact there's so many more numbers, such a large, relatively high number of people who are actually getting infected by it, you could still end up, if it gets out of control, with high levels of people having to have hospitalization. Even though it might be a smaller percentage, the larger, greater numbers could lead to a larger absolute number of sick people. And in addition to, even if, you know, the average person might be able to get a Omicron and shrug it off, you could carry it home to your grandmother or to your, you know, your sister with diabetes, and then for whom that may be lethal. So it's not a matter of fact, a matter that we should be resting our laurels. And another caution as well, some people might say, well, I get Omicron, no problem, and now I'm immune. It has been well shown in all the studies that the kind of immunity that you get from infection is not as effective and not as long lasting as that from the vaccines. And so therefore, and even though we have the vaccines, and we probably will have to have reevaluation of the composition of the vaccines as the viruses mutate, they one thing is sure, they have definitely given us some breathing space. They have given us some time to be able to you know, look at other things, and to be able to avoid, you know, a total collapse of our health system and our economy.
Coming back to you, Dr. Gerald Thompson, the question of variants. I mean, we have seen different variants of concern come out from time to time, and many ask the question, how long is this going to continue? Is this just permanent, that we will just constantly see these new variants of concern that have their own characteristics and cause their own problems?
There's been a lot of variants that had emerged previously that were actually weaker and less likely to cause any problem, and they phased out. They did not become dominant. The variants of concerns, the Alpha, which was a variant of interest, certainly the Delta, and now the Omicron, basically have been two of greater importance. There are a couple other variants on the horizon. We've seen something coming out of France, and so we have to watch, but it hasn't really emerged yet. Omicron is still very dominant. Variants of this nature tend to develop in persons who are more immunocompromised, on chronic steroids, chemotherapy, HIV positive. And basically, they can't get rid of the virus, and they become, you know, long haulers. And a variant that may have gone in, what comes out is a different variant. And we've seen that in the southern part of Africa. We've seen that elsewhere, Brazil, so forth. So the point is that the more unvaccinated persons we have, or in countries that have a high unvaccination rate and level, and they become, they are potential for brewing the variants. Now, I believe this pandemic will eventually go. I'm saying that, but I think in certain areas you're going to have endemics. You understand? You're going to have epidemics, and the variant in some areas will be endemic in those particular areas. We in the Caribbean certainly don't want to be in that particular state, but variants will and can develop. I believe there is going to be less chance of them developing the more people who are vaccinated. And if you are in a country, there may be another country that has a low rate, and therefore variants may emerge again and you can see reinfection. But the way the world is going, if we have these high rates, and we follow countries like Antigua, I would say, that we basically can help to stamp this out. And the Caribbean can become a zone where you will see, yes, a few cases, but it has nowhere to go because basically people are fairly well protected, immunized, and they've got an army of antibodies in their body waiting to fend it off and prevent the virus from going any further.
And coming back to you, Dr. Carlene Radix, I wonder if you could just give us an overview of the situation in the OECS right now. Whether or not, you may not have specific stats at your disposal right now, I don't know if you do or I don't know if you don't, but just a general sense of how serious various countries' infection rate may be from a broad and general perspective. I mean, we know what's happening here in Antigua and Barbuda, but as to the rest of the region, we may not be so au fait.
I can tell you what's happening in the region, and we can go into the numbers, but I think, you know, it's a pity we're just talking. The graphs really show it to you. And if you look on the WHO homepage at the waves that have happened to date and what's happening with the Omicron wave, you literally see, you know, 1, 2, 3 blips. Delta was the biggest blip. And then you just see up. We're at the beginning. We don't know where the peak of this up is. It's not yet looking like a wave. We're just going up. And so in the Caribbean region, in the OECS region now, all of our countries have begun the same upward trend. Numbers are going up, and we can expect, at least for the near future, that they'll continue to go up. So that's one thing with regards to the rate of infection. And as in keeping with what Dr. Roberts and Dr. Thompson has said, this is highly infectious. Many persons are getting sick. We can expect persons may be at home. And we have to brace for what that may mean for continuity of services, et cetera, et cetera. What is going to happen with regards to hospitalizations and deaths in our region? Again, we have a varied rate of vaccination. So we vary from around as low as, you know, under 20-something percent of the population being fully vaccinated in some of our member states, to as high as over 60%, like in Antigua and Barbuda. And so there's a variation, which may account for a variation as we begin to adjust. What we find is that there's also an adjustment because the what is needed in terms of testing. So we have to test much larger numbers much more quickly. And so it's going to put a strain on our ability to test. And that strain is across the world because everybody is going through the same spike, and in hospitals across the world, and in the issues around testing are becoming an issue. And so we have to just brace for what it's all going to mean. But what's going to actually happen with hospitalizations and deaths, we have yet to see. Because like I said, we have done some things differently. It necessitates all hands on deck right now to make sure that in all of our spaces, our business places, our government offices, our homes, etc., this is not the time to be complacent. We need to step up our public health measures. We need to do, if our vulnerable persons need to be boosted and vaccinated, and, you know, we need to do what we can to make sure that the picture you're seeing in Antigua and Barbuda continues to be the picture that we see across the region, in that although numbers are going up, our hospitalizations and deaths stay down.
Dr. George Roberts, a local question here in Antigua and Barbuda, and I know that you obviously wouldn't be able to speak on behalf of our public health authorities, but many people have consistently asked the question of what should they do when they get COVID or they get ill. And they assume they have COVID-19, but it's a mild illness. It's something that they could nurse at home. And because so many people have it now, that is a question people are asking more and more. Because often they are told that the first thing they should do is not to rush up to Mount St. John's and you know, touch everything and touch everyone and place themselves in the vicinity of people. So what would you recommend? Somebody is feeling ill. They stay home. They don't know if they have a cold. They don't know if they have COVID. obviously COVID is going around, so they need to be aware of the possibility that you could have COVID. What should that person do? Of course, I would assume that the advice would be for them to get tested somehow, but how should they go about doing things in a manner that is safe and doesn't threaten others?
Okay, I must be honest with you. This is going to be, it's a little bit of a ticklish situation. The official situation, of course, is that everyone should get tested. And if you're found positive on rapid tests, you should get a PCR test. But as you would recognize, the resources are severely strained in terms of not only being able to get results on PCR tests. I have patients who've been waiting for PCR tests for a little while now. Not only get results, but then even when you get results, the capacity of our people here to follow and do all the tracing with the great numbers, it's really difficult. And we recognize that we had some new guidelines which were put out by the Ministry of Health, those two very hardworking and very professional doctors, Dr. Stevens and Dr. Thomas, who have been able to give us some ideas as to how we have to do. And we're really going to have to be, to some extent, monitoring ourselves. If you have an illness, it suggests that you stay home, you try to isolate yourself at home, and if the symptoms are not severe, and only go to the hospital if you really get severe symptoms. And the exact timing of the how long you should do it could be a little bit of fine tuning. And as we see how the pandemic goes, the authorities here will be able to make the appropriate decisions to be able to recommend to everyone exactly how it should be. But as it is right now, even though we are not under strain in terms of hospitalizations, in terms of just monitoring and policing the whole epidemic and all the people who are getting ill, it's really kind of difficult. Just one little quick thing about other places that I would want to add. I've been in very lot of communication with some of my colleagues, especially in Trinidad and Jamaica, and we were having discussions just earlier this week. We talked about how the fact that America is a lot less virulent and less lethal. But they were making the point that we still have a lot of people dying in Trinidad. And I actually got the chance to discuss it with a friend of mine who is actually on a task force that has been put in Trinidad to be able to investigate it. And their feeling is that in Trinidad, a lot of the deaths that they're having are actually from the Delta, which is still prevalent in Trinidad, and not necessarily Omicron. And so therefore, because we were wondering if Omicron is causing problems, why is it that we are still having so many deaths in Trinidad where Omicron is supposed to be less severe? And so that could be a reason why in Trinidad you're having such a severe amount of many deaths, and they're actually having a task force now, a special task force,
to deal with that issue. Dr. George Roberts, your audio dropped out there, but I will consider that the end of your statement because we are pressed for time. We have just about a minute left. Dr. Gerald Thompson, you wouldn't mind if I allow Dr. Carleen Radix to give us the final word, would you?
Absolutely, please. Yes, I defer to her.
Dr. Radix, a final word, especially to the importance of getting your booster shot.
Yeah, thank you. Again, I would just make the call to everyone. We know what's happening. Cases are increasing. So be responsible. This is the time when we need all hands on deck. I must commend this program for being responsible in terms of getting the word out. We all have a responsibility. Like has been said, if you're ill, stay at home. Find out if you need to get tested. Do what you need to do to isolate at home. And if you are ready, if you need to get your booster shots, especially if you're older or if you have chronic diseases, And I think once we're continuing to do the public health measures, proper three-layer masks, wear them appropriately, social distancing, and if we do what we need to do, we can get through this wave.
With that, we can end it there. I want to say thank you to Dr. Carlene Radix. That's the last speaker you heard there. She's a medical doctor and head of the Human and Social Division at the OECS Commission. We were joined as well by Dr. Gerald Thompson. He's a medical doctor and a specialist on infectious diseases. He serves as an advisor to the St. Vincent and the Grenadines COVID-19 Task Force. He too joined us on Zoom. And finally, of course, right here in Antigua and Barbuda, we were joined by Dr. George Roberts, medical doctor and ear, nose and throat specialist. Thanks to all three of you for joining us this afternoon.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.